following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Businesses from startups to Fortune 500 share a common trait. They're intentional. They focus on success and don't get distracted. They share another success trait as well. Many choose to work from a Regis office. Your beautifully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it and includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, and a state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. None. Mention me when you call, get 2 months free. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES, 1-800-OFFICES.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-hour energy, when you gotta get stuff done. For more information, visit 5-hour.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, February 11th. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Dudamani-Kratzenstein, my co-host today. We'll talk with Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad, Omaha Central boys basketball coach Eric Behrens, and a whole lot more coming up on the program today. State wrestling is ready to go. So much happened over the weekend, and we're just glad to have you along with us. You know what? As I went through all the sports today, I think it's the first time in quite some time there was not actually a Nebraska football story. And from time to time, that's nice.
That is a good thing. There's a lot of stuff this weekend. What a great weekend.
Wish we could have been everywhere, but got to see a lot of it. And let's face it, let's start with what happened at the Heartland Events Center on Saturday. We got to broadcast all the games. You saw most of them. There was everything from 102 points at 9 o'clock, 8:30 in the tip-off in the morning by High Plains, all the way to Omaha Central's win over Oak Hill. And I was so pleased to see the place full. The atmosphere was great for that last game. There were probably three really decent competitive ball games. The Northwest Kearney Catholic game was quite intriguing, and Boys Town Norfolk Catholic was back and forth. And I'm going to tell you what right now. Norfolk Catholic, I mean, they play like that. Kearney Catholic, Wahoo, I think you got to go after them.
Oh,
the Norfolk Catholic look great.
There's a lot of teams in that class that state tournament will be fun because, first of all, there's some tough districts just to get there. And then once you get there, it'll be fun because there's not a prohibitive favorite.
No, and it's going to be pretty wide open, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Oak Hill, Omaha Central, Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, calling it the biggest win in the history of Nebraska basketball. And I popped that question to him right away on Saturday night. I said, well, where does it rank? And he says, well, you got to put it. And then his article today is about that. Well, you got to put it as number one because it's never happened before. I mean, they beat the best team in the country from last year, which still had some of those guys. And we get into it. I'm surprised about two or three things. People are saying, boy, how do you officiate a game like that? Second, how can you not have somebody on a team like Oak Hill that's just a pure pull-up jump shooter? I mean, they're behind. They had nobody that could just pull up and hit a jumper. I mean, they threw some threes up, but just not a – and then they only played eight guys. I was kind of surprised by that as well.
I was too. You know, when you looked at this game originally, you didn't know exactly what you're going to get because a lot of us had not seen a team like Oak Hill play before. You know, was it a true rotation? Was it a deal where they were going to play about everybody? You know, how would you like to be the – you know, the last guys on that bench, how much do you get in? You get nice trips to Hawaii and Las Vegas, but you don't get a whole lot of clock. But, you know, it was really interesting. You brought up some great points when you know, as someone that does a little bit of officiating and interested in the officials, you know, it'd be fun to have Tim Higgins on here who did the game because you could tell right away that it was a game that was going to be officiated more at the college level because you have Division I college-type players playing. There's a lot of physicality that you aren't going to see in the normal game, and I think that was good. You know, no one wants to go there and watch Tim. I know I love Tim a lot, but I don't want to see him blow. I didn't go a game to watch him blow his whistle
ever.
But that's the first thing, and you're absolutely right. The other thing is, it was really interesting, and when we talked to Coach Behrens about this, it was really unusual because always Central is the team with the target on their back because of their history. In this game, Oak Hill was the team with the target on their back. It seemed to me like Central had more to play for than Oak Hill did. It was a bigger game for them. I don't know. We can debate how many times they played 10 times, how many times Central would win, how many times Oak Hill would win. I thought Oak Hill was probably a better team overall, but not that night. Not with that energy. You know, 50-50 balls, rebounds, all those sort of things went Central's way, and you got to give a lot of credit to them and their competitiveness and their effort and those sort of things because they were right there.
During our broadcast on Saturday night, Tom Schlecht, assistant coach at Adams Central, who's been in Kearney and been in Hastings for quite some time now, he was on board before the game saying he thought Central would win and outlining the reasons. I mean, it was pretty much as you would expect. Okay, why would you think Omaha Central would win? Why would you think Oak Hill would win? But Omaha Central, as we talked about, what are your goals for this season? I said there has to, and I'm interested to ask Coach about that later in the show. What were the goals for the season? Win the state title, do well in Florida, and beat Oak Hill, because that's your, I mean, other than that, I think you'd have to be fibbing a little bit, because who cares if you're undefeated?
I've seen Central play about four times this year. And that was by far the hardest I've seen them play. When they play that hard and when they're that competitive and they have that much energy, nobody's going to beat them, especially in the state. You know, it's great for Nebraska basketball because, well, there's two teams out there in Omaha that say, well, yeah, we beat that team. And I know there's other circumstances involved in that, but it's a great thing for Nebraska basketball.
Some people were comparing this to the last time, and a little bit on a different level, but the last time that we had a game like this and it was closer to home was when Ravenna went to Bellevue West and played that contest, and Ravenna had the big lead and let it get away, but it was in their gym and, you know, kind of had all the same things, officiating at their place, bigger versus smaller in this case. And this, I think you'd have to say, is bigger versus smaller. This is the biggest team in the state of Nebraska, but not necessarily in the Midwest or the country. And there was some comparisons between that. This just doesn't happen very often. And now Tino and the gang have to live up to this. How is that possible? Because Central's coming back next year, but there's no way they can have this competitive of a team. So how do you bring in a Simeon or a Bobby Hurley's out of New Jersey, senior, Bobby Hurley's senior's team out of New York, New Jersey, to play Central and expect them to live up to this billing again? And I point blank asked him before the game on Saturday night, I said, are there a possibility of bringing in two teams to play each other? Because it is different. And I think what Oak Hill has to say to some of these other teams about their experience will be big. But then you're paying two teams to come in and not one. And that's really tough.
Well, I think from a Nebraska standpoint, part of the appeal was certainly it was a Nebraska team. And I don't know if you would get the same sort of excitement, the same sort of crowd, the local fan involvement if you don't have a Nebraska team. That's one of the challenges. But, you know, I don't know that you necessarily have to have this marquee of a matchup in that event every single year. One of the things I love about this event historically has been the fact that you have teams playing each other that don't play each other during the regular season or won't play each other in the state tournament, and whether it be from the size of the school or geographically, however that works. I think that's important. You have a local team, but go out and play some teams, bring some teams in, and that's what's been fun. I don't think you have to have this marquee sort of matchup. It's great to have Central. You know, Central signed a 2-year deal, so they'll be here. They'll be here next year. But you do have to be careful because, yeah, you don't necessarily – I don't think Central is going to be as good next year as this year. You don't want to necessarily bring in a big-time Oak Hill, Simeon type of team to come in. Nobody wants to see, you know, a 30-point blowout either. Not to say that it's always going to be that way, but you don't have to have
– But I suppose, have to have this. I suppose on the reverse side too, Monty, you better take it while you can get it. Because after Omaha Central next year, I mean, the Thurman kid who twisted his ankle came back and was huge in the second half of that ball game on Saturday. You know, he was the only junior, so maybe they'll have some kids that come in or maybe some new kids come in and join him. But then after that, who's next? I mean, they're talking Omaha South is looking really good, but really nobody's established. I mean, it took Omaha Central, good Lord, they've won 6 of the last 7, right, or 5 of the last 6, whatever it's been. So you kind of got to put together a resume before you can even have an opportunity, and that's what's tough about the state of Nebraska, and that's why I think everybody was going gaga. Do you know that Oak Hills Gym seats 350 people? When they play their home games, Oak Hill Academy's gym officially, we were told, seats 350 people, one side on the gym.
Well, their parents' night isn't a big deal either because they're from all over the world. So you're just going to get your local fans there. So I bet that is interesting. I didn't know that.
And let's face it, when they go to Chicago, when they go to these, you know, there's other things to do. People aren't clamoring to watch a high school. I mean, it's not new. I don't think they've ever played in front of a crowd like that before.
Didn't Coach Smith on his Twitter account, didn't he tweet something about that was the second largest crowd that team had played in all year long?
Yeah, probably.
And you know, to me that's impressive, and that speaks well to Grand Island, you know, and the people that run this program. And so it's a good deal.
Well, it was a fun time and saw some good basketball, and kudos to Northwest as well. That was a crazy game against Kearney Catholic. The swings back and forth in that contest, and two very good programs there. The Northwest girls beat Beatrice. I know that's not at the Heartland Hoops Classic, but let's throw a shout out to them as well. But that was a good game, and a defending C1 champion, Boys Town, they were down, then they got back in it. And then it was like, oh, the game's not over yet? Okay. And we caught you, and now we're down 20. Okay, what just happened?
How many times have you seen a team come back from that much, take a lead, and ended up getting blown out? That was a weird game.
Yeah, just some good basketball, though. And it was fun to watch, and I think everybody enjoyed the Heartland Hoops Classic this past Saturday. And the 7th annual coming up next year, so we're looking forward to that as well. Your thoughts, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also shoot us a Facebook message at ESPN Superstation. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And as always, the Bruce Furniture fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Coming up, Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad, and we'll talk with Omaha Central coach Eric Burns right after this. He comes up in the last segment, but we're going to be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I head to Cunningham's Journal. Why thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Wi-Fi internet to keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm a busy mom with 3 kids, and I know what it feels like to struggle with weight loss. Looking back, after my last baby, my weight really caught up with me. I can remember feeling overweight, unhappy, and I had no energy. I lost the weight, and years later, I've been able to keep it off. That struggle is why I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm.
Try Refirm, the breakthrough weight loss product for men and women only at Complete Nutrition. Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells.
And that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store today and get a free Refirm consult while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, consult your Complete Nutrition pro to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Boardman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition. At Grainger, we understand running a facility means wearing a lot of hats. One minute you're replacing a condenser fan motor, the next you're swapping out fluorescent bulbs. That's why we offer over 900,000 products in 31 product categories. Many ready right when you need them, from HVAC equipment to safety supplies. Whatever you need, even if it's a new hat. Yeah, we've got those too. To help keep your business running efficiently, call quickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Valentine's Day is coming fast. Send a delicious treat to your sweetheart. Giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. These sweet berries are dipped in milk, white, and dark chocolatey toppings and covered with chocolate chips, crushed almonds, and a decorative swizzle. Plus, radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. You've got to see these enormous berries for yourself. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in my password, SCORE.
We'll see sunshine and some scattered cloudiness around the area during the day today. Otherwise, looking at a high at about 37. Northwest wind stay at 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 16. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 30.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, Doug Unamani Kratzenstein. And folks, don't forget that now is the time to beat the heat with the best value purchase of a T&L pivot system. Experts are forecasting the continuation of the current drought for 2013, so maximize your production with the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call T&L or your T&L dealer today. You can also see them online, TLIRR.com. Get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. A T&L pivot system. District wrestling went on over the weekend. We want to get to that. Also, what will be the first dual tournament. Here's what I want to know. How well attended, folks, are you going to, just right here in Kearney, right here in the Tri-Cities, will you follow the dual tournament? It is a one-day event. Classes B and C will go at 8:30 in the morning, and as close as I can tell, there are only two teams that are even in the general vicinity that will be competing in that, and that's Lexington and Central City. And Sergeant Burwell, I guess, would be about as close as maybe Central City is, but you take a look at that. And then Grand Island, Kearney, and Amherst are the teams from the listening area that will be competing starting at 3 o'clock in classes A and D, and we will cover that right here on ESPN Radio on the 23rd. But how much interest is there? Give us a buzz. Give us an email. Are you going? Are you not going? Did you even know it was going on? Those are the teams that will be competing. But this week, we have 13 qualifiers from Grand Island, and unfortunately, an injury in the districts will probably knock that down to 12 for the state tournament. Kearney has 10. Hastings High has 7 that are headed to the state tournament. A and D will get things going with the first two sessions they wrestle on Thursday morning, beginning at 9:30 a.m., and then at 4:30, B and C gets going. Aurora and Adams Central 7, Northwest 6, Holdridge 4, Lexington has qualified 10, but a lot of those came through the consolation round, and so they are going to have a big first round if they hope to get a lot of kids through for medals. In Class C, real balance. There's no team that has a big run of numbers, so it could be very interesting in Omaha. Central City, 7, Wood River, and Gibbon are taking 6. Ord has 5. Shelton, Kennesaw, Southern Valley, and Kearney Catholic all have 4. Minden, Grand Island Central Catholic, St. Paul have qualified 3, as has Red Cloud, Blue Hill. A couple of qualifiers for Loomis Bertrand, Donovan Trumbull, Centura taking 1. And in Class D, it's led by 3-time champion Amherst. They have qualified 12 wrestlers, and a variety, obviously, of the other area schools, including the FKC, have put in 2, 3, 4 kids that are going to the state meet. We will have updates all day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'll be there with the Doug and Daddy Show on Thursday and Friday from the state wrestling tournament, and then Friday night at 5 o'clock, once again, like for 15, 16 years, whatever it's been now, live coverage of the semifinal round from the CenturyLink Center begins at 5 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. I know you're a basketball guy. What about wrestling?
Oh, I have respect for those wrestlers. All joking aside. Hey, by the way, did you know my first date with my wife was at the state wrestling tournament? There's a little trivia for you. 20 some years ago.
What happened?
I'm not going to tell you.
She 20 some years ago.
I think her boyfriend was wrestling in the tournament, and I might have saw an opportunity. We won't go into that. That's for another show. So I have some fond memories.
He's a loser, man. He just got stuck, man. What's up?
I have some fond memories of the state wrestling tournament. But all kidding aside, if I don't know if there's an event that has the pure excitement and frenzy of the state wrestling tournament. I mean, it is just crazy and exciting, and I know you're down there every year, but you know, hell hath no fury like a wrestling mom that's cheering for her son Matt's side. I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah, look out. Look out. And if you missed any of our wrestling rally yesterday or are new to the area, we talked to a bunch of the coaches from Kearney Catholic, Amherst, Ravenna, Minden, 11 or 12 different coaches, Ross Halford from Husker Matt. We do have that up on our podcast, and you can find any of our podcasts of high school events at PlatteRiverPreps.com. PlatteRiverPreps.com is the place to go, and we'll talk more about that as the week goes on, but basically Thursday and Friday are so devoted to it. That, again, we had Ross Halford on Friday. I don't think really anything, I was kind of surprised, really no shakeups. Usually something weird happens over district weekend. There was no major, major upsets. There were a couple of injuries that kept kids from qualifying from state, including the Bailey kid from Sutton, who's an outstanding wrestler. But there were very few... For lack of a better term, there wasn't that much bitching yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me just be honest with you, Monty. There just wasn't, at least in what I saw.
Well, from my standpoint, you always want to, for any state event, you want to have your best teams and your best individuals there. So for me, that's a good thing. You want to have those guys there and get them there and compete. I don't like a lot of surprises. We always talked about state track meet when the old false start rule, you know, and or weather, you know, and how that affects it. But with wrestling, a lot of times injuries and those sort of things do affect weigh-ins and injuries. But I'm glad you get to get your best kids there and let them go at it.
Championship finals are Saturday, beginning at 3:00. Darren Erstad is scheduled to chat with us next, so let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will talk with the head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska, then Eric Behrens from Omaha Central, right around 11:45. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, because we got to talk about five overtime and NCAA games and the new number one, state bowling, way to go Hastings, all that and more after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. It's time. Don't wait another minute. You gotta order your roses for Valentine's. And you gotta do it from 1-800-Flowers.com today before it's too late. Remember, this year, wower. Don't settle for less, guys. 1-800-Flowers.com delivers the highest quality roses at what a value price. Listen to this. 2 dozen romantic roses, only $29.99. Quality and value is screaming at you. That's a full bouquet. 24 beautiful roses. For $29.99, you can't be dead anywhere. It's a limited-time offer. 1-800-Flowers.com. And it ends today at midnight, okay? You gotta order now. Don't wait. You have only one shot to wow her at Valentine's. For this and other great Valentine offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or even mobile device. Click on the radio microphone upper right side and enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com and enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my...
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see sunshine and some scattered cloudiness around the area during the day today. Otherwise, looking at a high at about 37. Northwest winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 16. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Dudamani-Kratzenstein on this Monday program. Coach Darren Erstad going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Then Eric Behrens, head coach of the Talk of the State, Omaha Central Boys Basketball. Mentioned state bowling going in. Our friends in Hastings have given us a little bit more information. And Dale, you're right on it. His first line is, sometimes the results are hard to find. Yes, they are. You know, we would definitely talk more about it. And if I didn't mention you, I just happen to know the Hastings stuff. Hastings boys, Class B state champs. They beat Mount Michael in the final. Hastings girls beat Waverly in the final. They're the champs. Adams Central boys defeated Burwell 3-2. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that should be Burwell / Ord. At least it used to be.
That's good. That's good inside information.
It used to be. So that's a huge win for Adams Central to pull off a shocker like that. The Hastings boys and girls, that's their second title in the last 3 years. So congratulations to them. Nick Christian, Corey Lucy, Michaela Novak, and Kaylee Nordby. Hope I got all those names right. We're all top 10 finalists individually. And if you were in A or C and did something well, I apologize. I looked. I tried. That's the results I found.
They need to hire an agent. They need to get that news out there. This is big stuff.
It is frustrating to all media people.
There you go.
That in this day and age, it's pretty darn easy if you wanted to get it out there to get it out there.
Yep.
So, again, you know, there's if it ain't football and it ain't basketball, and volleyball's pretty good, but anything after that, including wrestling, sometimes it's tough to get results. Let's face it. Do we get wrestling dual results? No. Throughout the year? No. Most invites are on Saturday, so it's old news by Monday. But we talk about big-time things like that anyway. Our poll question for the day. Which game was more exciting, Monty? Notre Dame beating Louisville in 5 overtimes or Wisconsin beating Michigan on the 2 big-time shots, the half-court shot Wisconsin hit right after Michigan hit a fadeaway 3? Which was more exciting?
Well, for me, the Wisconsin-Michigan was because that's one I got to actually watch on TV. The other one, I was just getting text messages and updates because we were in Grand Island. But that Wisconsin-Michigan was, both of them were great. I guess it depends on where your allegiance lies as far as teams are concerned.
Yeah, after Oak Hill and Omaha Central, I'm up there where Stu Pospisil and Bob Hamer and all those guys had really excellent seats to watch all of it from. So I watched the TV, and heck, I think they were in the second overtime when I got up there. And so I'm set third, fourth. I said, no, I'm out of here.
There were a lot of great.
I watched the fifth overtime elsewhere.
There was a lot of great stories involved in that too, as far as an official that had to fly in or came in to do that game. He'd already done another game. Another official was sick. And so there was an official doing that game that had done a game earlier in the day. There was just a lot of fun, you know, guys scoring that hadn't played in so many different games because, you know, by the time you get into that fourth, fifth overtime, you're down to 10 right. The guys don't play.
You're fouling some guys out. That's why you got to be ready to go.
They said that one of the guys had 17 points and he didn't play until the first overtime and he had double digit figures.
That's awesome.
Love it. Love it. So you can vote on that now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, that Wisconsin half quarter. Also awesome. And how about the kid from Notre Dame that hit the half quarter again on game day? So the 18 grand coming his way.
That was also fun. Dokic, the color guy, was he all over those teams, Wisconsin, Michigan, for not fouling. You know, both those teams had fouls to give, and they allowed the other team to get up you know, shots toward the end there, and which is you know, a crime when it comes to coaching to not do something about that. But he was all over with his Bobby Knight background was showing a little bit in that one.
Well, those college teams, they don't have enough assistant coaches to keep track of stuff like that.
Who knew they had fouls to give?
Our poll question over the weekend, as I figured, with football over, which upcoming sporting event are you most looking forward to? Overwhelmingly, March Madness, 83%, which beat out opening day of baseball, the Masters, NBA, and a variety of other items. So there you go. Here they may be looking forward to all the state tournament events. What were they?
I think the Daytona 500 got a vote.
Oh, good God.
not my vote, but a vote.
Yeah, great. Woohoo.
Oh, now you just ticked off that one guy. Our listening audience just dropped by one, Doug, because of you. Good job.
See, now that's bull. It's over, though, right? The Daytona 500 is over.
No, it's next week.
No. Last night after the wrestling rally, I stayed in here, come into this studio, I'm doing some work, and I'm damn well sure Cole Trickle won the Daytona 500 yesterday. Okay. Cole Trickle beat Russ Wheeler coming down the stretch.
Now,
Russ Wheeler.
Our lights are going to light up with all sorts of phone calls because now you've ticked off half the odds. Here we go.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on in the midst of basketball and wrestling and everything else that we've been chatting. Baseball gets underway this week for the Huskers and the Lopers. Of course, Hastings College began this weekend, and we're pleased once again to be joined by Darren Erstad, Nebraska's head baseball coach, getting ready to head out to California this weekend. And, Coach, thanks for the time. How are things going so far?
We're ready to roll. The boys are working hard, and it's about that time, so it's an exciting time of year.
Where are we at right now? Where do you want to be at 1 week before the season begins?
Ready to go. I mean, there's no excuses. There's no working into the season. We've got to be up to game speed and playing well from the get-go. And, you know, our guys, I feel like our guys are ready 2 weeks ago. They've put in a tremendous amount of work. We've got an experienced group of guys that know how to get ready for a season, and pretty hungry.
Do you feel you're farther along in your second year at this point than you were last year? Is it about the same point?
Well, I think just from a understanding of what's expected out of them, we're way ahead of where we were. I think they understand how we want this game to be played and you know, how they're going to go about their business. And it's just going to be a little more comfortable for them as far as how to run our offense. You know, what kind of pitches is Coach Silva going to call? What different situations are they going to be put into from a role standpoint? So I think there's a little bit less unknown, but at the same time, it's a new season and anything can happen.
Well, we're coming off National Letter of Intent signing day, and I know you can't talk about some of the kids that have committed, but how do you like how recruiting's going, and how's that process been coming out of the pros and trying to recruit these kids to Nebraska?
People told me from day one, they're like, oh, you're going to hate recruiting. It takes up so much time, and I have to say it's probably one of the things I love the most. I mean, I get to sell the Huskers. That's not exactly the worst thing in the world to do. So it's been fun, and we have some good traction recruiting wise. My coaches have done a fantastic job on the road, and you know, we're just excited about not only what we have, but with what it could look like in the future with the guys we have coming in.
Well, everybody wants to know Coach Pelini's philosophy. What's your philosophy when it comes to recruiting?
Well, it's making it personable. You know, it's. We have a family-type atmosphere, not just you know within our baseball team. It's within our campus, our city, and the whole state. And it's a special place, and it's somewhere where people can really envision spending you know 3, 4, 5 years of their lives and developing great relationships for the rest of their lives. And you know, for me, it's I can make it pretty personable, considering that you know it worked for me. I lived it, and now I'm in a position to be able to give back and help. Younger kids go through the same type of experiences that I got to, and it's just a powerful place to get to be a part of.
We're talking with Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Obviously, that roster is dotted with a lot of Nebraska kids, most of them from Omaha, but a couple from our area. And let's start with Cash Kalkowski, who's had such a roller coaster career because of the injuries, but he's been good at about everything he's done. Where is he at? What are you expecting from him?
Oh, yeah, Cash, you know, tremendous athlete. And those injuries, there's just nothing. You're at the mercy of this game sometimes. And, you know, he works hard. He's got tremendous talent. And, you know, he's going to be in the middle of our lineup playing first base. And, you know, he's as healthy as he's going to be. I know his back's always been a little bit of an issue, but we shut him down in the fall just to be safe. And, now he's ready to roll, and you know, I expect him to go out there and have a tremendous season. But great kid to be around, just graduated, so he's in a good position, and we're excited to have him.
What do you do with these kids that just graduated? I know they still have to go to class, but do you have to worry about focus with these kind of kids?
I don't think so. You know, this is their last shot to get to play, and if you're not doing well in the classroom, well, you don't get to play. So it's pretty simple. And you know, he gets it. He understands that this is his final shot at this, and he wants to go out and put his stamp on his career in a positive way. And you know, he has to pass 6 hours in this semester, and you know, I think he'll be just fine in that regard. But he's motivated. You can tell that, you know, there's some unfinished business for him as far as the injuries and stuff, and he really wants to finish strong.
Coach, do you think that Cash still has a future in this game, a kid that was drafted as a pitcher, albeit it was pretty high in the draft coming out of high school, or are the injuries just not going to have enough, or is his bat not going to be enough to give him a chance at the next level?
I don't think he's going to be able to pitch at the next level, just for the fact that, you know, that the shoulder surgery can be very, very difficult to come back from. But as far as playing a position, he's fine. His bat plays, and his bat has a chance at the next level. He has motions and actions at the plate that work in professional baseball. And if he goes out and sticks to his approach and has a solid year, he's going to get a chance to play. And I think that's all you can really ask for out of anybody, is to have a chance. And he just has a tremendous swing and a great knowledge at the plate. And that's only after 2 years of hitting. I mean, he didn't hit for a couple years, so he's just going to get better and better.
Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Another young man that's kind of at the other end. He's a redshirt freshman, and I know there's opening at catcher, but Taylor Fish is a young man that did a lot of bullpen work for you. Tell me a little bit about where he's at.
Well, I mean, you're not going to find a kid that works harder. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we were on the road last year, and I come out of my hotel room to go down for breakfast, and at 7:30 in the morning, and here's this guy coming up with his shirt soaking wet and has already been to the gym. I mean, there's just it's that kind of work ethic that will pay off, and it is paying off. You know, he's a good catch and throw guy. His bat's coming, and he's going to get an opportunity to play this year, and he's going to get to play early. And you know, it's a matter of getting up to Division I level of speed of the game, and he's in the process of making that adjustment. And guys like him just do not get denied when they go out there and work like he does.
First game on Friday, you said at the beginning of the season, kind of the first time that you had a chance to talk to the press, that you were still looking at catchers and shortstops. Have you made that decision on those two positions?
I have an idea how the rotation is going to go, but at the end of the day, something could happen in practice tomorrow or the next day, and everything gets blown up out of the blue. So I'm not going to sit here and start locking in guys on the depth chart. They all know that they need to be ready at any given time, and when the moment's right, I'll tell them what the rotation is going to be. But they're still fighting. I mean, every rep counts, and they're going to continue to fight it out.
Even though these first 7-8 games are incredibly competitive, will you try and platoon these guys, or is it going to be decided in practice?
Well, we'll see how it plays out. You know, like I tell them, I say, look, you guys are going to decide it for me. How you want to go about your business in practice? How you want to go about your business in the game? Are you going to, you know, get the signs from Coach Silva correctly? You're going to have the right tempo given the signs to the pitcher. You know, are you going to control the running game? And there's so many things that go into it, and they'll get their shot, and when they do, we'll just see who does it better than the other guy, and that's in the long run who we'll have in there.
Coach Darren Erstad with us here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chad Christensen is a name that a lot of folks are very familiar with. He is moving into the outfield. Tell us a little bit about that decision.
Well, Chad's a natural outfielder, and that's where he wants to be. And I'm all about putting people in position to succeed. We tried that last year at the start of the year, and I wanted to keep it that way, but we had some defensive struggles at short, and we need to bring Chad back to the infield. And I asked him, and of course, Chad's not going to say no to anything. He's such a great teammate. But I'm committed to putting him where he's going to be in a position to succeed. And for him to have a chance to play professionally, it's going to be in the outfield. So we're going to put him there, let him roll, and he's doing a great job. And, you know, at the end of the day, it just doesn't make sense to me why you'd put somebody where they don't want to be. And, you know, Chad felt like the outfield is where he wanted to be, and we're going to make that happen.
You mentioned earlier about guys trying to catch your eye a little bit. Are there any new guys that are eye-openers that Husker fans will hear for the first time this weekend?
You know, again, I've played so many games and seen so many crazy things that to start trying to predict what's going to happen, I mean, it's hard to do. And when the bell rings and they turn the lights on and we actually keep score, so many things happen. Guys step up, some guys get a little timid. So to sit here and pump somebody up before something happens, I'm just not in the business of doing that.
What is the competition like out at California? And we always know about Texas. So what do those teams have coming back this year?
Yeah, I mean they're obviously their names. You know, they're not. I wouldn't say that Texas and Fullerton at the start of the season are a top five team in the country. I think they're both ranked in the 20s. So you know they have some young guys, some issues that they have to deal with as well. Probably some spots in their rotation and lineup that they're not quite sure what they're going to do with yet. So this is very important for us to come out and play like we can early and take advantage of some of those guys that might not have as much experience as maybe they normally do. And you know, they're going to be competitive games, and that's what we're here for. We're here to get after it every single day, and we're going to give them a schedule to do that.
Well, you had Mike Socha here a couple of weeks ago. What did he tell the team that maybe would be different from what you – what was kind of a message could he give them that you can't?
Well, I don't think the message is much different. You know, I've learned so much from him, and the message is probably pretty similar. A lot of them were kind of just staying there kind of with that shocked look on their face, like, is that really him? You know, is he really here? Is that the guy you see in the dugout? You know, you could see those kind of looks. It was pretty cool for them to interact with him and, you know, just kind of see some drills that he likes to do and just be hands-on with our guys. And, you know, he's just a great person, and you know, he's as old school as they come, you know, as far as how you're going to approach the game and how you're going to go about your business and the work you're going to put in. And it's just it's a good message to send, you know, from a different angle.
Last minute for Darren Erstad, probably the last question, Coach, that I have for you. It intrigued me when you said in the season opening press conference that you expect your kids to be focused every single day, and every coach can say that. How do you make sure? I mean, that's a long season where not all kids or all athletes at any level. Do you have a special routine or something special that you do to make sure before each game the guys are ready to go?
Oh, I mean, just you. Not really. No, it's just that's what's expected, and you know, I feel like these kids are, you know, not only are they're pulling a million different directions. They're, you know, from school and lifting to baseball to their social life being so transparent. I mean, their ability to multitask is pretty amazing. And the thing that I just, you know, we get caught in this thing of saying, oh, they can't focus for very long. Well, I think they're capable of much, much more. And when you give them a challenge and you challenge them to show up every day, I think the kids like challenges. And I've challenged them, and so far they've done that. Now, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to tell them, okay, you're going to show up, you know, all but 10 games this year. That's our goal. That's not the goal. The goal is to show up every single day, and that's what's expected. And when you know what's expected and you challenge them, they're going to respond.
Well, we love our Nebraska baseball here in the Tri-Cities, and we can't wait to follow another great season for the Huskers and Coach Erstad. Hopefully we can do this again when we get ready for conference play, because it looks like it's wide open.
Sounds good.
Darren, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Darren Erstad, Nebraska baseball coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Friday, single game, doubleheader Saturday at USC. Sunday, play three different opponents, and then Texas next weekend, and then they open things up at home.
They are not ignoring any challenges, are they? You see that non-conference schedule that they have, and you know that's what you have to do. You have to see how you stack up against the best. But I was looking at through their schedule, and it's impressive.
He's not Bill Snyder.
Yeah, true. I think you're right.
He's not Bill Snyder. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth when we come back. Aaron Behrens, the head coach at Omaha Central, right after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. In business, effective communication is always key. Sending emails with attachments that are too big, that bounce back, a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, just frustrating. You're dropping your files into online boxes for others to access. That's not safe. That's not secure. ShareFile by Citrix understood those challenges. Created a better solution for your business. Now millions of accountants, lawyers, and other business professionals rely on ShareFile. It's so easy, anybody can use it. It allows you to send files of virtually any size and securely, and you can track the progress of those files. Notifications are automatically sent when files are opened. You can control who has access by using tools like password protection. You can even sign and edit files to have a more streamlined collaboration. ShareFile allows you to access files from anywhere, laptop, tablet, even on your smartphone. Pretty smart. We use ShareFile. Why don't you sign up now for a special full 30-day free trial? Go to ShareFile.com, click on the mic, enter my name, Colin. ShareFile.com, and type in my...
More high school sports action comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Girls sub-district basketball begins this week, and on Classic Hits 98.9, the Minden Whippets take on Gibbon Tuesday night at 5:45, followed by Kearney Catholic taking on St. Paul at 7:30. Then the state high school wrestling tournament comes your way Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with live coverage of the semifinals Friday at 5 on Classic Hits. Keep it here and on PlatteRiverPreps.com.
We'll see sunshine and some scattered cloudiness around the area during the day today. Otherwise, looking at a high at about 37. Northwest Wednesday at 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 16. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Monty Kratz is signed with you on ESPN Radio on this Monday, where we are pleased to welcome him. He, this morning, was voted the coolest guy in the entire state of Nebraska, Omaha Central coach Eric Behrens. Eric, congratulations. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing real well. How are you guys?
Well, great to talk to you again. It was great to be the home of broadcast and all the games from the Heartland Hoops Classic, and what a way to end things up on Saturday night. First thing, how was the bus ride home?
Well, our bus broke down at Cabela's when we got back to Omaha, and we had to have another bus come pick us up. Other than that, it was great, but the kids were excited and happy, and we had some pizza and stuff, and it was all good until we were about 20 minutes from Central, and then we had a little delay, but other than that, we had a fantastic trip.
Eric, this is Monty Kratzenstein. Great to see you the other night, and that was a battle. That was a good battle. What was your initial impressions after the game of, did you know it was it like you knew it was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I guess our experience in Florida, you know, probably helped our preparation for that game. Just playing teams that were, you know, about that athletic across the board, you realize with some of those, you know, prep school type of teams that have a bunch of Division I guys, there's no weak link. So you really have to be solid at every position, and they're really, really athletic at the wings. I mean, Oak Hill, maybe more so than the other teams, they're 6'5" to 6'7" guys were extremely athletic and good offensive rebounders, and I give our guys a lot of credit for really matching up with those guys and being able to get the boards as best we could. And but it was about what I expected.
Eric Behrens, Omaha Central coach. Did Oak Hill do anything just to take that another level? Did they do anything on the court that was a little different than what you expected?
No, not necessarily. I mean, we had scouted them and had some game film on them, so we knew you know, basically how they played and what they were going to try to do. They didn't necessarily do anything different than what we had seen or prepared for. But again, it's hard to simulate their athleticism and their length and their full court pressure. I mean, we turned it over a few times, and you know, but I thought our kids overall handled it well and did a good job to continue to attack in the fourth quarter and go get baskets, because I thought if we would have tried to pull it out and go into more of a delay, I wasn't so sure we could do that real well against their length and athleticism across the board. So we just kept playing, and I thought our kids responded very well.
You know, Eric, I always loved to watch your teams and the way they attack, and they're always so much better when they attack, and I'd agree with that. Well, did you get a sense that, you know, a lot of times when you're playing in Nebraska, you're kind of the villain? Teams are cheering against you because of your success. Did you get a feeling that maybe you were the crowd favorite in this game?
Yeah, it felt like that. I mean, I know we had a really good following come out from Central, but then it seemed like the crowd was behind us, and we really appreciated that. I mean, certainly we're the local team, and they were coming in from Virginia, and probably for one of the few games we get to play around here, we were the underdogs, I would say. So, yeah, I thought the support from the crowd was fantastic.
Just a couple minutes to chat with Eric Behrens, the head coach at Omaha Central, whose plate is pretty full today. Coach, we've been talking for the last week, a lot of people on and off our show, about what your guys' goals were this season. And I kind of took the stance that I wouldn't have thought it would have mattered if you were undefeated or not and beat all the Nebraska teams. But doing well in Florida, winning a state title, and beating Oak Hill would have had to been the three that were at the top of my list. Is that true, or what were the goals going out at the start of the year?
Well, we only set one goal, and that's to be the state champions. But once we went to Florida, and we certainly wanted to perform as well as we could down there, me personally, I set a goal that we wanted to win the Oak Hill game. And I think our kids felt like that. You know, obviously that's not a game that has any impact on whether or not we're the state champions, but it was just such a great opportunity and a chance that nobody's ever gotten around here. And once we felt like coming out of Florida that we knew we could play with teams that were ranked really highly nationally, we kind of circled that one as, you know, we really thought we could get it. And so I was really happy. And our kids, I mean, they celebrated like it was a state championship when they got back in the locker room, which our kids, they've been good and played at a high level for so long. They rarely do that. And so I was happy that they were happy about winning a game, because sometimes when you're favored all the time, like a winning is more of a relief. And so with this particular game, I was happy that our kids had were able to let that emotion come out, and we're actually really, really excited about a win.
You know, that's good to hear. You know, a lot of people don't really understand the challenge of your job. They look at the talent that you have and the challenge of your job of keeping your team focused, because let's face it, keeping them challenged night in, night out in your regular season schedule probably is difficult. Could you speak a little bit to that, and maybe the next 2 weeks, and, you know, you got practice probably today, you know, roll the ball out and let's work on some things. How do you keep those kids motivated to get to their next goal?
Well, you know, I hope this game was a springboard, you know, that we can build some momentum off it moving forward. But yeah, we practiced today right after school, and we went back and watched film, and we're always looking at things that we can do better, and we need to continue to improve. You know, until you cut the nets down on March 9th, you never stop working toward a goal, and you never look at anything as a finished product, because there's always something you can do better. And even though we beat a really good team on Saturday, we always are pointing out deficiencies and things that we need to improve on, and constantly trying to challenge our guys to, you know, to make sure we play Bryan and Bellevue East this week, and we just got to get refocused for the next games on the schedule and make sure we're bringing our A game. Just like we did on Saturday.
Eric, I thought all six guys that you used on Saturday, I mean, seeing you the last couple of state tournaments, seeing what they've done in the past, but I can't even break one of them down. Everybody wants to see Okoye. If it wasn't for Trayshawn Thurman coming back off the little sprained ankle, I mean, you needed all six of them. Was it the best all six of them played as well all year long?
Well, I mean, you know, they each contributed, and obviously, you know, Trayshawn had an ankle injury at one point. Tradion was cramping up at one point. I mean, we needed everybody. And obviously, we had 14 guys suited up, and we could have gone deeper, but I certainly felt like those six are our most talented kids at this point and gave us the best chance to win with those guys on the floor. And, yeah, I thought each of them played extremely well. And they all were very, very competitive defensively and on the boards, and then just in terms of executing offensively and breaking pressure, I thought we had a great effort out of those guys.
You know, the listeners out there, a lot of people don't realize that Eric is also a teacher. He doesn't just have a coaching job. He's got to go teach, and we all appreciate that. We got to get you back to probably what you need to do. But let me ask you one last thing. Is there a time when when you have to go out and practice and show those kids how to shoot it a little bit? I know for a fact that you could shoot it and probably still shoot it. Do you have to do that once in a while?
Sometimes before practice or after practice, we'll have some shooting contests and stuff. And I lost one the other day. I wasn't very happy.
What?
Okoye's little brother, Magai, who's on our JV team, he knocked me off in one the other day. He's a pretty good shooter. He's going to be a good player for us down the road. But, yeah, I like to get out there and shoot with the guys a little bit when I can.
That might be a bigger upset than the Central Oak Hill game right there.
Well, I don't know about that. He was feeling it. We were shooting 10 at a time, and he kept making 9 out of 10, and I was struggling a little bit. So, but no, it's fun if you can do stuff like that with your kids and get out there and kind of enjoy it a little bit. And it's you know, it's a long season, and it all can't just be the grind. Sometimes you got to get out there and make it a little bit fun as well. So we try to do stuff like that. And you know, I don't know. It's just something that we've done here at Central that I enjoy. And it helps me stay in a little bit of shape, too, if I can get out there and shoot the ball or do something other than just blow a whistle for 2 hours. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, though.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's working.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Eric, we'll let you get going. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. We look forward to seeing you at State and back out in Grand Island again next season.
Okay, well, we look forward to that as well, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care, Coach. Big win over Oak Hill. It was great to be there. It was great to be the exclusive radio home of all eight games of the 6th Annual Heartland Hoops Classic. Saw some great games, and it was fun to call. So congratulations to Eric Behrens and the entire Omaha Central Eagles staff as they win it 70-63. Akoya Gao, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks in the ball game. I'll tell you what, again, got a chance to call their state final last year, which I thought was extremely sloppy against Omaha South, to be quite frank with you, and they were behind at halftime. Of course, when you play them 5 times in a year, they're going to have figured out what they need to do. And then Agao just had a monster game. He had 14 block shots in that state final last year, and he brought them home rather easily in the second half. And I thought this was a different team. And of course, they all have another year of experience. But I mean, Kevin Scott did some things at the point guard position. Tradion Hollins, you know, he only played 6 guys, which is why I thought Oak Hill would use 10 or 11 if they needed to, and they never did.
Well, I know Central is not nearly as deep as they have been in the past. You know, before they could rotate in those guys and play their pressure defense and never get tired. But they're a little bit different this year. You know, this was a great chance Saturday to watch them play. You know, how they say styles make fights. This was a great opportunity because of Oak Hill's style and Central's style. It was a little bit more of a fast break, you know, transition, you know, offensive rebound sort of a game. It won't be like that at State, and I don't want to get the fans, you know, go watch them at State, watch these Class A teams, because who knows who's going to be in the semifinals, but I would predict that, you know, Central, Omaha South, Papillion, and maybe a Millard West might be in there. But those teams are going to grind, and they are going to bang, and those are defensive teams that, you know, you said last year was a little bit sloppy against Omaha South, and it will be that way again because those teams defend so well, and there's a lot of contact, and it's sometimes choppy and maybe not pleasant to watch sometimes, but it's great basketball with great athletes.
Well, Class A could have a little bit more parity now. I don't know. It all depends on how those wild card points, but it seems like, and Stu Pospisil has said this, and the folks that follow the high school hoops inside and out in Class A, after 3, it really drops down. So that first day, you could have some blowouts in Class A, but that semifinal and final should be outstanding.
Those semis will be great games. And, you know, probably the worst thing that happened to teams that are going to play Central is the fact that Papio and Omaha South has already beat them because, you know, Hollins was hurt. You know, he wasn't at full speed. And, you know, honestly, I don't know that they had their full attention. You know, they'd beaten him so much, those teams. But, you know, look out at State. I think I would predict Central's going to get through State and
kind of
work through.
Don't you want them to win now?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I
do. I don't know if I really cheer for any team, but it'd be nice because, again, they are the premier program in Nebraska, I suppose.
And then somebody new.
And then somebody new
next time around. Hey, it's Truck Month, folks. It's your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac in Kearney on South 2nd Avenue. Stop by and see them. I know Andy and Ryan have been out checking out the new merchandise, and they're bringing back all kinds of information for you this week. They have currently 50 2013 Silverados in stock and 45 Rams, some 2012, some 2013, and that makes a difference on the urea-free diesels or not, so you can get what you want there. They've got great incentives from the manufacturer that go along with that. Maybe you're not necessarily looking for a truck. Check out the wide variety of 2013 Chevy Equinoxes that they have, and they've got some Dodge Journeys on the lot as well. Plus, maybe it doesn't need to be brand new. There are over 200 pre-owned vehicles currently in their inventory, with many of them, dozens of them, at under $10,000. ThinkMidway.com. You can check out the entire inventory, check out the prices, check out the color, check out the interior, and then head to the lot. Midway, a better way. Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. One couple more things we got to get to, Monty. How about this? Bovada.com, and there's so many places to look, but Darren Revelle tweeted this out, and Jeffrey, who is our tweet master, the Pope is resigning at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
De la Pope, mm-hmm. My Pope, he's resigning. You now have overseas lines onto who the next Pope will be, and here's my favorite. Well, not necessarily, but then there's prop bets. You know there's prop bets on the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
You can do more than just pick the Pope. Mark Ouellette from Canada at 7-2. Not going to have a Canadian Pope. It ain't happening. You can get Tim Dolan of the United States at 33-1.
So let me get this straight. You could literally their odds for the Cardinals who are up for popedom.
Yeah, you can vote on who the next pope's going to be. White, black, smoke, baby. The next pope will be from Italy, Africa, North America, or South or Central America. You can bet on that. Plus 160 for Italy, so that's 10 to get $16.
Isn't that wrong? Is there something wrong? Is it really cool, or is there something really wrong with that? I haven't quite decided.
How about this one? Age of the next pope, 60 or under, plus 1,000. That means you bet 10 to win 100. They're betting that the next pope will definitely be over 60 because they just assume that they're all ancient, which they are, all the cardinals.
What's the odds for if the pope's going to be Catholic?
That's a good one there. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Congratulations to the UNK wrestling team MIAA championships, kind of as Mark Bauer said last week. He didn't say waste of time. He just said, it's us in Central Oklahoma, and none of these other teams really have much. Well, all 10 of the champions, 5 were from UNK and 5 were from Central Oklahoma. UNK happened to have 4 runner-ups, and they had 109 points, and Central Oklahoma had 102.
Well, as much as we document the difficulty that the UNK programs have had in this conference, we got to talk about when they dominate something. So kudos to Mark Bauer and his team.
Feel that, wrestlers. Josh Heinen, well, there you go. He was a winner. Jake Soufflon, a winner. Only the second loss of the year for Robert Kokish, and Nebraska fell to Iowa yesterday, 31-7. Basketball sub-districts for girls begin tonight. There are a handful of games around the area. The Nebraska women are at Iowa tonight. You can hear that on the Breeze, 94.5 FM at 7:35. Nebraska men, they played a good game, but they played a terrible Penn State team, 67-53. Dylan Talley, 16-7. Brandon Ubell, 14-9. Huskers will play, and now that the new poll's out, Indiana State, number one. Nebraska plays at number one Indiana Wednesday night, a team that they beat in Lincoln last year. How bad will this be?
Really bad. We own Penn State, though. Get out the brooms. We got that one.
Feel that. That's our third conference win. Penn State, you're 0-11. UNK, they didn't play bad, but Fort Hays State shot the lights out, men and women, with the sweep over the weekend. Now Fort Hays State comes to the Health and Sports Center this Saturday. Hastings College swept Mount Marty. They've got Concordia on Wednesday. Baseball and softball underway. The Storm, they lose a pair of one-goal games. Just a tough weekend for the Storm. They play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The home game is Thursday against Lincoln, and a lot more to talk about as the week progresses. I think we've hit it all, from bowling to wrestling to basketball to everything in between. Monty, anything else to add to the weekends?
I'm out of breath out of all that stuff. It's good stuff, though. Good show.
Great Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're glad you're along with us. I have no idea what's on tomorrow, but we'll have something for you. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We'll talk to some wrestling coaches. We'll talk basketball and a whole lot more as we get you ready and continue on in the postseason. And we want to thank Eric Behrens of Omaha Central for joining us on our first show after the big win against Oak Hill Academy on Saturday night. Also want to thank Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad for joining us on the program today. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 o'clock, with another Doug and Daddy Show. Monty Kratzenstein, thanks for spending the hour with us.
Fun. Good deal.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks, on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.